from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio
on WGR.
Check it with Sal Capaccio here from Bills training camp coverage at St. John Fisher University, brought to you by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it, and brought to you by Fugle, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case, what's your outlet, and by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. Jeremy and Joe, along with Sal, before we get to Bill stuff, I teased this, I was going to bring it up, and then I checked like to see if it's close to the anniversary. Not to be, this is a serious topic, it's football related as well. Mm-hmm. I asked Joe, Sal, do you know who Corey Stringer is?
Yes.
Who Corey Stringer was.
I remember exactly the day that he passed away.
He died. Right. The reason I bring it up is I saw temps in the 90s this week here at St. John Fisher. And I remember, so Joe, yeah, and you young ones out there who don't remember, Corey Stringer was a Vikings offensive lineman that died at training camp due to heat stroke.
A very good offensive lineman, too.
First-round draft pick.
You know, he was a name player that people were very... You know, not that it matters that, you know, he's a better player, but when it happened, it was, when you heard Corey Stringer, if you knew football, you knew who he was.
Yeah. And it was 2001. We're coming up on the anniversary of his death. That's back when, and again, like, I don't say this to be flippant at all. Pads go on today, 90 degrees.
Yeah.
And his death in 2001 changed a lot of NFL practices on monitoring players, hydration, breaks, cooling tents, all the things that are really important.
Wow.
And I started thinking about that this weekend, Sal, just because as temperatures climb this time of year, I don't know if a lot of NFL owners, people start thinking about him, but his legacy, of course, is that things changed a lot after his death.
Yeah, and since then, even, unfortunately, we've had deaths in college, multiple, and in high school around the country, obviously, over the last 20 years. And whenever something like that happens, there's a lot of, you know, research on why, and You take a look at all your practices that go in. Was it something medical with that specific individual? How much did the heat relate? How much did getting, like you said, hydration and things like that? And then, Jeremy, there were changes in the early 2000s. A lot of the results of that, and then the new CBA in 11 really started to change a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
And that's when we started to kind of cut back on some of the practices. And then 2020 is really when the practices changed a lot. No more two-a-days. I don't remember if they were doing two-a-days back at that time. I think they were, Corey Stringer. But you do not have two practices. You're not allowed to anymore.
Yeah.
This is the only practice. Now, the teams do a walkthrough. So if you're here, like, in the evening, the team is on the field. There's no media. It's just the team. They do a walkthrough. That's the only thing they can do. But you're right. It's something that, you know, should always be in the forefront of, you know, every trainer and every coach, not necessarily thinking specifically about Corey Stringer because we are, you know what, 20-plus years removed, but certainly because of many changes and, unfortunately, and untimely deaths that have happened around the country with football players.
Yeah. Terrible story. I remember being on or listening to GR throughout it as that was happening way back 2001 for Corey Stringer. Okay, Sal, on to present day. So Bills camp, let's recap the weekend, Friday a little bit, and also yesterday, Sunday, as we get prepared for our first practice in pads. The number one question I want to ask you is, I continue to see, and Joe and I talked about this, Keon Coleman's name a lot. We're seeing his name a lot. And comparing it to last year's standard, is Coleman having a Kincaid camp? Because last year, Kincaid was the story.
No.
Okay. Not quite that.
No.
Okay. But still pretty good?
Very good. I mean, there's still a very healthy group and rotation of wide receivers. That would be also kind of because of circumstance. Kincaid is one of five tight ends last year. You have, 13 wide receivers here, right? So it's not like he can be in on all those reps. He's having a very good camp. He looks impressive. His hands are very good. He's made plays down the field with separation, by the way, on those plays. You could see, especially in the early portion of camp, the fade over. Let's see now when they go a little more one-on-one, you know, what that looks like a little bit. He's having a good camp. I don't think he's having the level of Dalton Kincaid where we were kind of like, wow, he's jumping off. But I think that might be because of volume, to be quite honest with you, like I said. If he had as much opportunity as Dalton did last year because of the numbers at tight end, maybe we're talking about him that way.
With Coleman, a lot of his profile was highlight reel catches, playing above the rim. So to see some of those would be expected. Is all the other stuff there? Like, does he just look like a pro receiver? I can think back to, you know, if the Bills draft a guy, you say, oh, this guy looks the part. Everything about him, he looks very smooth. Does Coleman jump out to you as, oh, clearly he's one of their better ideas at receiver?
And specifically, Sal, I want to know, like, even just what he looks like speed-wise to you, because remember the gauntlet drill, he was number one in the 40 time he was last. So that's one thing that when I've been watching, I've been trying to get a look at too. But all that Jeremy says, but also like speed-wise, what does he look like on that front?
He looks not out of place whatsoever. I'm not like, you know, it's tough. He's not a burner, obviously, that's catching your eye because he's running past people, right? Mm-hmm. But he's getting separation. That throw yesterday, you've watched the video, right? Curtis,
yeah. Against Benford.
Yeah. Benford is, he's kind of in position, but he gets by him. He did the same thing to Rasul Douglas on the near sideline a couple days ago. He has enough speed to get separation because he's also a long strider and because I think he understands leverage where to run routes. He spoke after practice the other day, after the one against Rasul, and I asked him to describe what happened. It was really impressive to me that he was talking about exactly where he needed to be on his landmarks to kind of get to that depth to be able to kind of get up the sideline. I think that's where I think he's impressive to me. He's fitting in like an NFL wide receiver because he understands the nuances of the position. That's allowing him to get the separation. I want to see what it looks like with pads on, especially when he has to get off the line. Let's say they press him. I don't know if they're going to do that or not. I want to see that. That's where things are going to start to happen, where you say, okay, what about at the top of the route when a guy can get it? There's pads on now.
Yep.
We're getting a little grabby. We're getting a little India a little bit. Like right now, they're very careful about not hitting each other. They're very careful about not even like whacking too hard against the arms, right?
Yeah.
Like pads are coming on. When that happens, is he going to be able to play big too? He's a bigger guy, like tall guy. Can he play big to make sure he holds on to the ball and he fights through some of that stuff?
Yeah, the first thing that just popped into my head as you were going through that is, can they just put Kyer Elam on him, like in press coverage? Because Elam, I think the story for him at past camps, I don't know if this is still going to be true, because maybe he's grown in this area, but how grabby he is, right? And when he's playing press, they had to put boxing gloves on him, right? His rookie year. And like, hey, we're just going to throw this guy at you who's almost maybe going above the line that you'll see on press, because you've got to get used to, if you're going to play the X at all with our offense, like you've got to get used to the second the snap comes, you're getting touched off the line of scrimmage. And that's one of the question marks about him. So You would want to think the Bills are going to throw everything at him in that way, right?
I would think that today, I mean, I don't know this. If I think back, usually on the first day of pads, we get a good little bit of one-on-one stuff, DB and
okay.
DB and wide receiver. Now, maybe today, because of the heat, they alter the practice a little bit to do less. But let's see. I mean, the point is, we could see that today. You asked earlier who's going to fight. I always say, generally, the first skirmish comes between a DB and a wide receiver.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Last year, Diggs and Elam? Or
yes.
two years ago, Diggs and Elam?
Last
year, too.
It was Diggs and Hyde.
Last
year, Diggs threw a ball at Micah Hyde after getting roughed out of bounds.
Yeah, but Elam,
it was Diggs and Elam last year, too.
Yeah. Elam ran across the field, or Diggs did. One of them ran across the field. I can't remember the search.
I think it was Diggs.
Diggs ran across the field. They kind of got into it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Generally, it's a DB in a wideout or a tight end or somebody who's going after it a little bit as the first skirmish. Yeah.
Ross Tucker once got in a fight. I forget who it was with. Maybe.
Okay.
I don't remember who. Offensive lineman, defensive lineman, also a good possibility.
I mean, the most famous one that we would remember is, there's a couple. Like, Reuben Brown got into a big one here years ago, but Eric Wood yelling at Eric Maben.
Yeah, right? So I love that. I love that story. Allen last year, right?
Allen?
Jordan Phillips,
right? That's right.
Yeah, at the goal line maybe or something along those lines.
I don't even remember that. Last year, 2 years ago, it's one of them. That happened.
Before we get off wide receiver, just like the rest of it, like Claypool injury, Samuel, and then also I think I read this from Ryan Talbot. Jeremy's guy over here, Shavers,
hey,
is getting some first team reps.
I think, did I hear Chris Brown maybe put Shavers up a little higher on the depth chart? Like, is Shavers making some headway here?
Yeah, Shavers and Brian Thompson are both pretty impressive. Some of the things, Brian Thompson caught a long one yesterday. He's actually goes back to spring and OTAs. Tyrell Shavers, Josh Reed said something to me when we were standing in Philly. He said, have you seen that, who's been working out there in the first unit? We're kind of looking at it now. Real quick, go back to Chase Claypool.
Yep.
Looked like he had an ankle injury. They tended to him. He stayed on the field, which is always great, but he didn't take another rep. So let's see if they manage him today in any regard. That might also be why Shavers is getting a little extra work.
Because Claypool was getting some, right?
He was getting some. He hasn't. You know, it's funny. I have not seen him pop like I thought maybe you might. He's still an impressive specimen. Not that he's had a bad camp, but I feel like he's not at that 5 or 6 spot quite as much as we thought he would coming in, right?
And that's the kind of thing, you know, Sal, not to make a direct comparison, but sometimes if you come in and you are nagged by injuries in training camp, like, your year's toast. Like, think about Jamison Crowder that one year. He got hurt, missed a lot of camp time, got hurt early in the year. We were waiting to see if he'd make the team because he spent so much of camp hurt. And it could just get you off on the wrong foot, and that would be – it'd be a bad break for Claypool, no doubt, because he doesn't have much room to miss.
You know the old saying, right? Can't make the club from the tub. I mean, you can't, right? That's I mean, you know, you don't mean to be mean, but it's a business, right? They gotta what's your best ability, your availability. I mean, people talk about it. And if you're a borderline guy, that hurts you even more, right? If you're out here and in that year, Jamison Crowder there was no chance he wasn't going to make the team, I guess, at the end of the day, right? Like, we thought about it, but I think they had, hey, we know what he can do. He's gonna be out here, he's gonna do it. Curtis Samuel, I mean, as advertised, he is a flexible player. He can line up anywhere. They're lining him up anywhere. They're using him in a lot of different ways. They're getting him the ball in a lot of different spots on the field, a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. That happened as well. And I talk with him.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
About it the other day when he met with the media. And I said, hey, you know, you've played, you're a former running back. You have like 80 carries in the league. Last year you had a bunch. You know, what can that do for you here in, you know, in Joe Brady's offense, who's somebody who's used you? And he said, you know, you've seen how Joe has used me. Without getting specific, I think that you can probably figure out some of the things that we're thinking about. So I think that gives you a clue right there about, yeah. You know, this is a guy that under Joe Brady had 40-plus carries, I think, as a wide receiver who moved over at running back and played a little bit of that. And it can be jet sweeps. It can be a lot of different things. But that's, I think, what they're envisioning for Curtis Samuel.
Sal Capaccio joining us from St. John Fisher. You know, we talk a lot about Coleman. Sal, let's go down some of the other rookies, their first week at camp, whether it's Cole Bishop, Dwayne Carter, Javon Solomon. Has anybody kind of from the rookie class popped to you a little bit past Coleman?
Dwayne Carter is a strong human being. He's tough. He's a good anchor in there.
Good day to watch him today with pads on?
I think so. I think today would be a good day to watch Dwayne Carter. And I just think that because they drafted him in the third round, because of a heavy rotation at D-line, this is a guy that's going to play. He's going to play. I mean, if you take the entire rookie class after Coleman, because I think that he's got to be a big part of the offense, like, who has the chance to really kind of just be playing? It's Dwayne Carter. Now, they're going to rotate, but they rotate D-linemen, and he's going to be a part of that to me. So that's probably where you're going with that. A lot of people want to know about Cole Bishop. I get it. He is pretty steadily always working with the twos, with some time at the ones once in a while.
Yeah.
He'll get a few reps here and there. And, you know, a lot of times people make a big deal of who's ones and twos. They do mix and match a little bit. They'll have, you know, the front seven will be the ones, and then you'll mix in the twos in the secondary, or vice versa, because you have to get used to playing with those people in front of you, hearing those voices. So, and the other part about it is, it's not like a game rotation. Fans come out here, and it's just a good point and a reminder for me when I report on the team. If I say ones or twos, and then someone says, well, they rotate a lot anyway there. Listen, it's a platoon system at training camp normally. It's, here's your group of ones. They run out there. They run three snaps. Then they run off the field. Here comes a group of twos. It's not like you're switching in ones and twos for 10 plays. You know, that's not what happens at camp normally.
That said, on the safety spot, DeMar Hamlin back
at the first team.
I was going to ask you, like, are we nearing calling safety an open competition?
From what I've seen so far, I think so. I just don't know. Maybe we can find out from Sean today. McDermott speaks at 9:15. I just don't know if it's still because of Edwards still coming back from the shoulder, and they're just trying to lay off. But if that's the case, he's still getting healthy reps with the twos. It's not like he's not on the field.
Right, he's getting reps with the twos. And am I right? Like, I've seen five guys. Did even Cam Lewis?
Cam Lewis out there once in a while.
Like, it feels like everybody has had at least a turn.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with Cam, it's more of he's got to play there at some point, right? Like, you're going to put him in at safety or corner or nickel corner. Like, he's just going to play, and he's a big part of what we do because we have packages and we have substitutes, and these teams run out with a spread offense. We need an extra DB. It's a dime. But you're right, Joe. I mean, they have been using all these guys. And I think we're also getting to the point where we can maybe start to call corner a competition. I mean, Kyrie Elam's getting run. It's a rotation. It's him, Russell Douglas, and Christian Benford, basically – two of the three always running with the starters. And it, as I sit here, I would say Benford's probably done more, gotten more reps, but Kyrie Elam's out there every day in some capacity running with the first team, it looks like.
Did they start the year 2 years ago that way, where they were rotating?
They did not. Yeah, 2 years ago, we literally didn't know until they played the Rams who was going to line up with the starting defense. And was it Dane Jackson? Was it Benford?
It might have been Benford. But I feel like I remember them rotating it.
Yeah.
And they don't do that a lot at corner. Like, But they could. Like, safety, you would never expect that, right? That they would rotate. But corner, maybe?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they could. And I agree with you. I think, yes, that's a position where you could. They've done that before. Remember they used to two drives on, two drives off for Josh Norman and Levi Wallace, was it, maybe?
Okay.
That might have been what it was, right?
Sounds right.
I think that's how they've rotated. So if they've done things like that, I don't think you'd see it on a play-by-play basis. You'd probably see it on a drive-to-drive basis.
Okay.
Sal Capaccio with us here from St. John Fisher. On Friday, when we talked with McDermott, he talked about Milano, his mindset, elite mindset to get back, and kind of, to my ear, said we know he wants to be all the way back where he is, but the phrase he used was he's got a long way to go. And I wonder, Sal, there's a difference between Matt Milano back on the field and then Matt Milano being Matt Milano. And I wonder if the Bills have, maybe from experience with Tre'Davious White and Von Miller, different injuries, but the Bills have an expectation of, even though he's back, we might need a little time before we start to see what he can really do.
Yeah, I feel like even Bobby Babich echoed that a little bit, right? Which is, Matt's going to be Matt Milano at some point. No, he's not quite there yet. He said it in some way like that. And, excuse me. I'm watching him pretty closely. It's hard right now to, again, without pads, kind of see how he gets off blocks, how he gets to the ball carrier. But every day, I feel like he's getting better and a little bit more where taking another step, right? The other day out here on Sunday, I think it was. Maybe it was Friday. Maybe it was Friday afternoon after I talked with you guys. There was a screen pass he diagnosed and just got there in a hurry.
I know the player you're talking. It was Samuel.
He's going left to right
here. And yeah. Samuel tried to cut. And right, like you said, no pads. But Samuel tried to cut around him, and Milano just stayed with him. So it was one play, but yeah.
And then yesterday, or maybe it's the same day even. I can't. These days blend together. He was on Dawson Knox in coverage and did a great job to kind of be there. And it probably could have been a pass breakup or a tackle if there was pads on. Dawson caught it, went down the field. You don't know who's tackling him. But that was just something I noticed that, hey, he was in coverage. He was right there. So what's going to happen when pads come on? He's got to fight through a little bit more. He's going to have a little more stress on his legs, you know, and try to have to do everything. I think that's where some of the test is going to come.
How's Tyler Bass's camp at all? Any indication on that front?
He was perfect on the day that they did that here.
Okay.
6 for 6, I think they went everywhere from 23 to 48 yards, just moving it back. The competition on special teams is going to be at punter.
Okay.
I think Jack Browning has a legit shot to beat out Sam Martin. Let's see what he does. One thing very interesting Matthew Smiley said, and this is a very important thing. He said his stance... stance when he gets the ball, his catch to kick time is great. Like, he's very consistent. He's very good. That's something that is really important, right? Like, you don't want anything blocked. But he was talking about his stance and how he has a stance that allows him to be able to get everything caught and kicked really quickly and efficiently. So I think that's a competition. And the other one that we have no idea how this is going to play out is punt return.
Yeah.
Daquan Hardy has been back there. He talked about Khalil Shakir. He's even said, though, yeah, but it depends on his role.
Yeah, I mean,
what he's going to be on offense.
Yeah, if Shakir's getting that many touches on offense, we expect, like, you want to preserve him a little bit, I would think.
That's exactly right. There was another name he threw in there. I can't remember off the top of my head, but that's something we're going to have to watch because this team doesn't really have, as we have seen in years past with the roster, that guy's the punt returner.
I mean, best case scenario wouldn't be Hardy was, what, a 6th-round pick? Would they want him to be the corner depth that they're lacking right now and be the punt returner?
The problem with that is, Joe, he's not really built to be a boundary corner. He's got to be a slot. He's 5'9".
And they've already got.
But you never know. Yes.
Yeah.
You never know. You know, that could be something that they want to do. I agree.
We really don't spend much time asking or talking about the offensive line. Is that...
Today's the day you can start to do that.
Okay.
I try to watch guys. It's hard. There's really not like the one-on-one type of stuff or even the 11-on-11, but... Here's what I'll tell you about the offensive line. It's just been consistent, the same five. Like, that's what you need to know right now. If you're looking for how's this guy looking, I can't tell you because they're not hitting each other. They're not doing these, you know, one-on-one drills like you're going full speed. But right now, it has been the same five that we've all envisioned, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah, the thing I was going to ask was if there's anybody to ask about, I think I'm leaning towards how's Connor McGovern look at center, and Spencer Brown? Like, we're always asking about Spencer Brown's health. I mean, is he just –
looks fine.
Looks good?
He looks good. He's healthy. Yeah, Connor McGovern, I said this when Cedric Van Pran Granger was drafted. A lot of people felt, well, this is a guy that maybe you can now move Connor McGovern back to guard. I mean, the Bills, I don't think, have any intention of doing that, have never had intention of doing that. Their intention's always been Connor McGovern's our starting center. And Connor McGovern can play center. He's played it in his life. He's very comfortable there. And that's a position where you don't want to tinker too much when you have, you know, Josh Allen at quarterback and you're trying to, and you have this offense that, this isn't a young offense trying to find its way. So I think the consistency matters there. And by the way, Connor McGovern is a really, really good athlete. If you remember in Dallas, he played some tight end. He played some fullback. Mm-hmm. So I know I was on with Chopin Bulldog the other day, and Bulldog was asking me about, can he do a lot of the things that Mitch Morse did? Oh, yeah. I mean, he can move in space because that's what he does. He's an athlete.
Yeah. Lastly for me, Sal, we saw two more big quarterback contracts on Friday with Tua and Jordan Love. I don't know if you have a take on those. But also, like, Allen, it's $30 million on the cap this year, and they're fine for now with their cap, so they don't need to do that. Next year it's $60.7 as their cap hit. Should we expect Allen gets a pay raise like in the next 12 months?
I mean, I would think at some point they're going to redo something with his deal. Where he is right now, Mahomes had it happen last year. Where he is right now and these guys passing him, I think at some point something's going to be done. Now, remember what they've done the last few years is you adjust it, you move money around. I wonder, I haven't heard this anything from Brandon Bean, but I wonder at some point do they say, we're just going to kind of do a new deal. Like, we'll just extend it, we'll rip it up, we'll start over again, kind of, right? Yes,
right.
There's bonus money. You still have to count bonus money,
yep.
Right? We have to do that. But we can structure it now in a way where we can account for that and do some other things since he's already getting paid. There hasn't been any talk that I've heard about it, but it would make sense. As far as Tua and Love are concerned, I was a bit surprised at the number on Tua. I wasn't surprised it got to 50, but then you get even a little more than that. It was only a four-year deal. Normally you go five with these quarterback extensions. I wonder if that's them wanting to make sure, hey, if there are 2 years, if he's not healthy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's less left on it. And then Jordan Love right after that. I mean, if you are a Packers fan, Jordan Love was maybe, he's arguably the best quarterback through the last half of the year last year, right? I mean, in the league. But, man, to make him the highest paid player in NFL history after one half a season is really scary.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely early.
We talked about this earlier. They kind of, I don't want to say trap themselves into it,
yes.
But it's the consequence of sitting a guy for 3 years.
That's exactly right.
You have to pay him playing fewer games than, I mean, Tua's played three full seasons before they got to pay him.
Yeah, it's
four full seasons.
No, that's exactly right. That's why in this day and age, I think you want guys to play earlier so you can find out earlier
right.
about them.
And then take advantage of the guy on the yep. rookie contract earlier.
That's exactly right.
Sal, thanks very much. Enjoy padded practice. We'll chat tomorrow.
All right, you guys got it.
Sal Capaccio, of course, he'll keep you updated through Extra Point Show, afternoon show out here covering practice from St. John Fisher on what is expected to be a – first off, the recipe for a fight today, hot
mm-hmm.
pads.
Mm-hmm.
The offense has been scoring a lot. Defense is going to be mad.
The celebrating.
All the celebrating.
Yeah.
Just saying. Everybody be safe out there today. All right, Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Matt Parrino in an hour, Steve Tasker, 9 o'clock. Excited to ask Tasker about the new kickoff, if he thinks it's blasphemy or if he's excited about, you know, special teams getting a little more attention there. Jeremy and Joe, live from Fisher here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.